You're listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 17th, 2019, President Trump had a rally tonight in North Carolina and brought up this issue of these four women, freshman women, progressives. And of course, they're all American citizens. I will stress to you again, the president's tweets the other day were inaccurate when he said, send them back, suggesting they're all from another country. One of them is originally from Somalia, came here as a refugee, should love this country, but doesn't, but is now a U.S. citizen as well. But what he was trying to say is, if you don't like this country, just leave. And tonight, as he brought up their names, the crowd started yelling, send her back, send her back. And of course, mainstream media just went absolutely bonkers over it. And they have made that their main lead repeatedly. That again, Trump is stoking racial fear and anger. But what do you say about the Philadelphia mayor? Democrat. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney talking about Trump's tweets. And he said, well, if Trump had to go back to where he came from, he'd go to hell. He said, I have a vision of one day in heaven or outside of heaven because they're not going to let Donald Trump in. He'll be standing outside in a cyclone fence dungeon. And they say that the Republicans are to blame for all the discourse in the nation right now. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson said President Trump is not a racist. And he says, nor were his go-back comments directed at those four far-left congresswomen racist. He said he has a feeling that those who represent this country should love it as well. That's what he was saying. So says HUD Secretary Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson. Oh, listen to this. Trump campaign getting ready to do something that is really going to incense the liberals. They're not going to like this at all. More than 1,000 of them gathered in Pennsylvania. More than 1,000 women gathering in Pennsylvania at Trump's reelection campaign, launching the Women for Trump Coalition. Oh, with all he said, how could he have women? Yeah, 1,000 of them. And they say, we're going to be the base and the core, and we're going to get other women to come in. We're going to engage them on freedom, safety, economic prosperity, all under President Trump. And the libs, of course, will say, as Hillary said, women, if you voted for Trump, you're apparently stupid. She didn't use that phrase, but came close to it. Or that you did what your husband told you to. In other words, you're subservient. You do not have a mind of your own. That's what they do any and every time. Any group, a minority, women, gender, religion. If you were suddenly on Trump's side, you don't know what you're talking about. I watched a CNN interview tonight. And they were interviewing a young black man in, I want to say Ohio. I can't recall if that's where it is. He's tatted up. And the CNN anchor is saying, well, you voted for Trump? Yeah, I do. And I think that's the way. And he spoke eloquently since he said, I'm a businessman. I like what he's doing. And he said, you're all tatted up. You're the last person would think would be a Trump supporter. He said, I am. And, of course, he held him up for ridicule. Ocasio-Cortez, of course, winning her seat in that New York district, that even Nancy Pelosi said a glass of water could have been elected. Well, she's going to have trouble this next time around. A New York businesswoman stepping forward and saying, I'm going to challenge. I'm going to primary her. I'm going to go after her. Not just primary. I'm going to face her in the general election. This is a New York businesswoman, a Republican, a Jamaican immigrant. She said there is a crisis in Queens. It's called AOC. She isn't worried about us. She's worried about being famous. She's got it right. Ted Cruz yesterday was quizzing Google on censorship. The Google vice president was in front of Senator Ted Cruz, and he's questioning the Google vice president about how they had taken some things off from Dennis Prager and PragerU. For instance, they were not allowing a video about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Google censored it. So you can't put that up. And he asked him, why would you take that down? And this woman with a straight face said, well, because it mentioned murder. What? Yes, the Ten Commandments do say, it says, I am the Lord thy God, no other gods before, no graven images or likenesses. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. They had no problem with the adultery part, but the kill? But it doesn't say you shall kill. It said thou shalt not kill. So Google made a decision. You cannot have the Ten Commandments presented by PragerU, Dennis Prager's group, because he's mentioning murder in the Ten Commandments. I heard Prager Day said, you know what? We're going to relabel it. We're going to call it the Nine Commandments.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This is Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
The Pentagon is sending another 1,200 troops, correction, 2,100 additional troops to the Mexico border. They'll join 4,500 others already in place. The Texas Republican governor is also sending 1,000 Texas National Guardsmen to his southern border to help out. Today, the White House announced a draft immigration reform plan, which they think could be the centerpiece of a new immigration reform plan that includes E-Verify, merit immigration, asylum fixes. We'll see if it works. A new poll out of Mexico, taken over the last 3 days, basically, says that 55% of Mexican citizens, do not like all the illegals coming from Central America through their country. They don't like it. They don't like it because they come in, they take their jobs, they take their benefits, they create crime. They don't like it, and they want to see them deported to send them back where they came from. Is that racist? A woman founded the African American History Museum, and she was found dead the other day in the back of a car trunk. They believe she was killed because she was the landlord of the suspect who was about 2 months behind on rent. That's a tragic story. But here's the part that I consider even more tragic. The man charged with murdering her in 2006, when he was 23, he was convicted of raping a child under the age of 10. He went to prison and then got released in 2013. In other words, he did 7 years for raping a child and got released. That should never happen. And in some countries, his head would be off, and I would be all in favor of that. Chicago mayor is saying that police are losing the streets She's saying they cannot control the streets. They have major eruptions of violence. The Chicago Police Department has been doing the best it can, handicapped as it is, but the new mayor says, we are losing the streets. Well, I told you just last night, a state representative in Chicago had her car shot up in one of the shootings this last weekend, and that legislator is now going around encouraging people to get a concealed carry to protect themselves because police cannot be everywhere. But, of course, Chicago is a very, very tough gun control city, and they'll make it damn tough for anybody to have a weapon legally. The gangsters, they'll have theirs. Oh, and San Diego, again, how gun control can come back and hurt you. The San Diego City Council voted for an ordinance that says if you have a gun in your home, even if you have no kids in your home, you had to lock up the firearms and disable them. You had to lock them up, have no ammunition in it, and disable it. I guess take the magazine out. I don't know what they mean by disabled. Now, when the guy comes breaking into your house, you need to say, whoa, give me a moment. I got a gun here. I got to get it. I got to get it loaded. I got to put it back together. Yeah, right. Dateline, North Carolina, this last weekend, Wrightsville Beach. A father and mother of seven children took their kids to church and then decided to reward the kids. They thought, you know, let's go to the beach, have some fun. And they were. They were having a grand time. But then the 35-year-old father saw two of his children, two of them were struggling to swim. They were being pushed out to deeper and deeper water. His wife said, Johnny didn't hesitate. He threw everything down, his phone, his keys, and ran out and jumped in the water. And he reached the kids. But then he was in distress. And people started coming forward, and they could get him. They could get him first. He said, forget me. Get my kids. Forget me. Get my kids. They got the kids. And they finally got him. But it was too late. They could not revive him. His wife said he put his family first. We came from the church, went to the beach to have fun, and we wound up suffering a tragedy.
You can follow Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA, at LarryConnorsUSA.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA. To call in locally, dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590.
The Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. The Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. He drank whiskey, poncho, drink the wine.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Andrew in Chicago is a friend of mine, a loyal listener. I was talking earlier in the last hour about what we need to do to keep this program on the air. And he said, you tell him, keep fighting the good fight. Know this, Larry Connors USA stands out as an oasis of truth in a society that desperately needs it. Andrew, I need to point you as my PR guy, maybe my negotiator. Thanks very much. We got a lot to cover over the next rest of this hour. Democrats now named as to who's going to be at the next debate. We'll get into that. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about NASA at this date 50 years ago was watching Apollo 11 head for the moon. And a porn star that's now going to lead a new church. And what's happening right now is in Puerto Rico, they have some protests underway. Armed troops and police with shields and so forth have gathered. Crowds have gathered, shouting, want the governor to resign, and he won't. Right in the midst of a tech scandal, thousands of his techs and some of his colleagues and cabinet members homosexual remarks, homophobic remarks, I should say, slanderous remarks, even talking about killing somebody. And reportedly, they were supposed to turn their phones over to an investigator. Don't know if that's happened. And if they did they follow the Hillary Clinton bleach bit and get rid of everything that's on them first? We'll see what happens with that with Puerto Rico tomorrow. I'd mentioned earlier that a New York businesswoman, a Republican, is going to try to unseat Ocasio-Cortez. And she said, there is a crisis in Queens. It's called AOC. She isn't worried about us. She's worried about being famous. And that's why I'm running for Congress. I hope she does. Here's the thing. I mentioned this to someone earlier today that Ocasio-Cortez is going to have a political opponent. But I also added, you know what? She's already done her splash in the pan. She has accomplished nothing other than talking about this new Green Deal, as Nancy Pelosi has mocked, a Green Dream. And even her co-sponsors made it, well, it can't be done. I mean, they're talking about getting rid of all the cows that fart to cut out methane gas and maybe getting planes out of the sky. Good luck with that, especially for the high and mighty like, oh, I don't know, Barbara Streisand, who flew her dogs with her over to London. And how about those Democrats living in Hawaii? How are they supposed to get to and from without spending days on a boat? But what I was telling this person is that Ocasio-Cortez may not even run anyway. She's already looking. She is going to make a ton of money. She's going to be given speaking engagements with a lot of money. She is going to get a book, probably a movie, maybe get her own TV show. Who knows? She doesn't care. And keep in mind, she came forward to say, I'm for the people. I'm going to help the people. And right now, she's going to do nothing but help herself. You mark my word. So we have the next debates coming up, the Democrat debates. They're not really debates. It's a collection of the Democrats so they can all answer a question. Maybe all of them get a chance to have the same amount of time. They really didn't. Again, it's going to be held over two nights, this time in Detroit, July 30th and 31st, 8 o'clock Eastern time. They have now selected the 20 Democrat candidates that have qualified. And they say the only change to the pool of the qualifying candidates is Bullock, Montana Governor Steve Bullock. He was left out of the first Democrat debates, but now he'll be on, replacing California Congressman Swalwell, who dropped out. And a couple others, Massachusetts Congressman Multan and Florida Mayor Messam, two candidates who did not make the first debate, will also miss this one. They could not qualify. They couldn't raise enough money. Billionaire Tom Steyer and former Pennsylvania Congressman Sestak, recently getting in the race, they failed to qualify for this second round debates, if you want to call it that. So these 20 are going to be out there. Tomorrow they're going to draw lots, see who gets to go where and what position. Big, big deal. Right. But here's something of interest. New financial disclosures show that 11 liberal candidates are operating their campaigns at a deficit already. They've already spent more money than the campaign donations are supporting. Sounds like what they want to do with our country, isn't it? Yeah, health care for all. Hey, can you loan me a dime, brother? We're going to give health care to the illegals right away. And we're going to tax the American citizens to pay for it. But 8 of the liberal candidates running for the Oval Office have less than $1 million on hand. 8 of them, less than $1 million. They're more than 5 months from 2020, and only the front runners have the financial means to go deeper. One of them being, of course, Tom Steyer. He's a multi-billionaire. And he spent a lot of money already to talk about they're going to fight against the power of money. It's so funny. So here's the story that I could not help but see. And Los Angeles, like many California cities, has a problem with homeless. And, of course, they're everywhere. And it's not something to mock about them and their condition. Some of them probably had other dreams in their life. They never dreamed to be homeless. I don't know their stories. Some of them would probably break your heart. Some of them had just didn't give a damn and did what they want to anyway. But the bottom line is, they're out there sleeping on the street in tents or in an alley, and they relieve themselves where they choose, creating a mess, as we have seen in San Francisco and L.A. and other places. There's an area of downtown Los Angeles known as Skid Row. Skid Row. Now, here's what they've come up with. This is very interesting. There are those who want to do what they can to help the homeless. And they thought, well, let's start by giving them a place to live. In other words, let's build some homes. There are 4,000 living just on Skid Row. 4,000. And, of course, it's an eyesore to downtown, a health hazard. L.A. already is dealing with an outbreak of typhus. 60,000 homeless overall in L.A., but 4,000 of them just on Skid Row. So this coalition comes along, including the Los Angeles Catholic Worker, Inner City Law Center, a health group, and they're protesting a plan to help the homeless. The plan would remove parts of Skid Row, plus the adjoining downtown Fashion and Arts District, and design it to be residential, a 50-block area, currently lined with tent cities. They're going to try to put in homes, but they're fighting. They're getting pushback. Residents already in the area fear they're going to be yanked out of the downtown area, and then they're going to have to leave. They might end up being homeless, and we got a house. And they're speaking, and they're using a term that you don't hear a lot. Gentrification. The homeless activists are protesting this plan to build the homes. That's right, they're against building the homes because it could be gentrification. That means the process of renovating and improving a house or district so it conforms to middle-class taste, an area undergoing rapid improvement, or the process of making a person or activity more refined and polite. So those fighting for the homeless say, yeah, you get the tents out here, then you want to come in and you start wanting to do different things to build homes in the area. Your whole point is to chase them out of here. And some folks who already have homes who will fear that their properties are going to be swallowed up in this domain project. It all started with, what do we do to help the homeless? We build homes in there. But, of course, to build the homes, you move them out. The homes were not going to be ever for the poor and the homeless. It's for people coming in that are a little more affluent. And it's going to move the homeless somewhere else. Not in my backyard, you say, right? We'll take a break, and then let's talk about NASA and what was happening this date 50 years ago. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA. To call in locally, dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590.
If you can't hear what I'm trying to say, if you can't be from the same page,
maybe I'm going deaf, maybe I'm going blind, maybe I'm out of my mind. Okay, now he was close.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Chinese state media is saying that Beijing could put a man on the moon by 2035. Well, isn't that hunky-dory? They're going to do it by 2035. Put a man on the moon, according to the Global Times, China's state-run news agency. 2035, we are, what, 1 year shy of 2020, right? So 15 years from now. 50 years ago this night, 1969, we had Apollo 11 en route to the moon. It had lifted off the day before, July 16th, 1969. En route to the moon, to first land humans on the moon. Commander Neil Armstrong, Lunar Module pilot Buzz Aldrin, they landed the Apollo Lunar Module Eagle on July 20th, 1969. Of course, Armstrong became the first to step onto the lunar surface 6 hours and 39 minutes later on July 21. Aldrin joined him 10 minutes later. We're going to spend more time tomorrow talking about Apollo 11 and some of the things that maybe you hadn't heard about that mission, things going on behind the scenes. And of course, that's when Neil Armstrong stepped out and described the event as he got down on the moon's surface. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. It all began in 1961 by President JFK, who declared, "Before this decade is out, landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth is what I want to see happen." Now, if you recall, in the 50s and 60s, we were still in the Cold War. October 57, the Soviet Union launched Sputnik, the first artificial satellite. And, of course, immediately the fears and concerns came that the Soviet Union had the capability to deliver nuclear weapons over intercontinental distances. And now if they get control of space, we're doomed. So Kennedy believed it was in the national interest of this country to be superior to all other nations. And that's why he said, May 25th, 61, addressing the U.S. Congress on a speech entitled "Urgent National Needs," and declared, "I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal, before this decade is out, of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth. No single space project in this period will be more impressive to mankind, are more important for the long-range exploration of space." And from that point forward, he said, "We're going to accelerate development of lunar spacecraft." He said, "The survival of the man who first makes this daring flight will be history-making, and the nation will never overlook what he accomplished." But he said, in a very real sense, it would not be one man going to the moon. It will be an entire nation, for all of us must work to put him there. Those were the days of, you know, truly reaching for the stars and believing this country and what we could do, and we could do it on a constant basis, and nobody was going to stop us. But yes, even then, they had those critics. They had the na-na-na standing around. A lot of Americans didn't like. They didn't like the idea of spending the money on it. They didn't like the idea that it would work. They thought it was stupid. One mathematician at MIT labeled it a moon doggle. But, of course, we know now it worked. But as they say, there, to quote Paul Harvey, there's more to the story, or the rest of the story. And we'll get into more of that tomorrow evening as we talk in more detail about Apollo 11. But I would spend some time on it tonight because 50 years ago tonight, I'm not sure if you recall exactly where you were. Now, when we land on the moon, many of you will be able to know exactly where you were. And when Neil Armstrong first stepped onto the moon, you'll remember exactly where you were as you saw it televised and heard about it. But 50 years ago, this night, they were headed to the moon. And there was no guarantee they were going to come back. And the things they used then to plot and plan and everything, they were so elementary, so basic. They didn't have all the computers we have now. And in fact, the whole growth of the computers we have and all the medical science and technology we can do now, both for man and for the nation and the economy, came out of the space program. They did carry something they left on the moon that had an inscription on it. It was a plaque. Had two drawings of Earth, of the Western and Eastern Hemisphere. Had an inscription, signature of the astronauts and President Nixon, who was president at the time. The inscription read, and it was left on the ladder of the Eagle as they blasted off to go rejoin the ship for the return. It read, "Here, men from the planet Earth first set foot upon the moon, July 1969 AD. We came in peace for all mankind." So when the Chinese get there 15, 16 years from now, if they're in that region, they'll see that inscription that "Here men from the planet Earth first set foot on the moon." Now, of course, we're talking lately about going back to the moon, but more than just going back to the moon, using it as a base for going deeper into space. And the National Aeronautics and Space Administration Administrator said in a conference call that while we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission to put a man on the moon, we have a bold prediction about the future. He said President Trump wants us to, quote, plant an American flag on Mars. He said the president's space policy directed is to utilize resources of the moon and then to use the capabilities and technologies that we develop at the moon and go on to Mars. Mars is the goal. And he added the president has been clear on this. We want to plant an American flag on Mars. That was in his 4th of July speech, which I think was a good reminder of what our ultimate goal is. So yes, we're going to the moon again, but we're doing it now so we can learn how to live and work on another world and take all of that ability and capability and technology on to Mars. The space race is getting ready to get heated again. There are those, of course, who are already saying that stupid Trump going to spend money on something like that, as they did with Kennedy. The cost, yes, it's going to be immense. We don't want to put our nation more in debt, but yeah, we'll probably create some of that too. What about you? Are you in favor of us spending that kind of money that will involve to go on to Mars? What would be accomplished by going on Mars? Do we need to put a man there? We've already sent Mars rovers. Can we not get enough there? Do we really need to put a man on Mars? Are you in favor of that? Are you in favor of the cost? Back up 50 years ago, would you have been in favor at that time of sending a man to the moon? Having man from this nation walk on the moon for the first time? It's a different time in the world then than it is now. But money is still money. Negative thoughts persist. But also hope and dreams. Which is the greater? Coming up, Bill Gates was the second richest man in the world. No more. What happened? And the porn star that's going to be leading a new church. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Come on, it'll be close to your mind, kind of mind. So big and so strong. Come on, it'll be closer. I'm all alone, and the night is so long.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Bill Gates, co-founder of Microsoft, very, very rich, was the world's second richest person. Well, who's first? Well, that'd be Amazon CEO and founder Jeff Bezos, $125 billion worth. But Gates was number two. And now he's not. What's he been doing? He'd been blowing his money, just not holding on to it, going out and buying little trinkets or something, or dropping it on the blackjack table. The number two person taking over from Gates, coming in with $108 billion, is the French billionaire and chairman and CEO of a luxury products group. Gates no longer number two. Bezos has $125 billion. The French billionaire, $108 billion. Gates has a paltry $107 billion. I know it doesn't sound like a lot of difference, but that still puts him no longer number two. Well, what's he been doing with his money? He's been using it well, to the extent that he's helping others. He has donated more than $35 billion to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which does a lot of good things. There are some things that border on liberal support and so forth, but he is out there giving back. Just pretty hard to be critical. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is not meant to be a political arm. It's meant to actually help. Brittany spent almost 10 years in the porn industry. And she says, I would still be in there, she said, until I met Jesus. She met members of the Triple X Church. Now, that sounds like right away, Triple X Church, well, that sounds like a porn site of some type, right? It is a ministry that helps people overcome pornography addiction. And she said, meeting them, I realized that I do have worth. And she has a husband now, Richard. They're expecting their first child. And she said, my husband and I will be the new faces of XXXChurch.com. Now, another guy had recently launched ChristianCannabis.com to start a broader dialogue about pot and faith after his own journey of healing. He made that announcement on the Triple X Church website. He had led an online group, Parachurch, for 17 years. He says, it's been on my mind for a while that we turn the actual church over to Brittany and her husband. And stop and think about that. Brittany says, I used to call these people Jesus loves porn stars people. She said, but the message pierced my heart. And I realized that there are continuous acts of love and kindness that, yes, Jesus really did love me. Now, this is not to be proselytizing. I'm just sharing her story because what she also says, as do others, well, put it this way. They say from their first outreach in 2002 at the largest porn show in the nation, they've reached millions of people struggling with addiction that now have a safe place of hope, healing, and recovery. Those who are addicted to something, be it porn or drugs, gambling, whatever it is, I mean, truly addicted, they can't do anything in their life without thinking of that first. I've been blessed that I haven't been there. Maybe you have. Maybe you know some people who are. Maybe they need some help. And of course, again, we have people that say, well, this Triple X church is all a scam and it's not really real. Brittany, in the adult film industry, and then deciding to leave. That is a movie of its own, isn't it? But it's also a life story. How many people do you know that have a tough time, whether or not they turn to religion, something, someone helps get their path straight and helps them going forward? I know several like that. And some, but by the grace of God, maybe it would have been someone else that you know, or you, or me. What they're saying right now, Brittany is a porn star turned pastor, and you know, that's going to get a lot of attention, have a lot of people coming in. She said, I just want everyone to experience the love of God. That's all I'm offering. We have in this nation, of course, a lot of TV evangelists, some good, some bad, some indifferent, and all of them asking for money for good reasons, bad and are indifferent. We've had some fall from grace, and if you're going to hold yourself up as a minister in a church, be it a TV evangelist or pastor at a major denomination in your city, your community, you have a fall from grace, it's going to be pretty public. And it's going to lead a lot of people astray and have them question and be suspicious of anything else that comes down the road offering to help. Several years ago, when I was in TV news, I went on the street as a homeless person for 60 hours. 60 hours is nothing. But I mean, the only time I was in a vehicle was to help get me to another point where we're going to pick up another part of the story. And rather than me trespassing, or rather walking, I should say, that distance, they got me there quicker. Otherwise, I slept outside. I stayed outside one of the most bitter cold winters we had the month I picked. And I looked pretty dirty and nasty. A lot of people didn't want to be near me. And some people would mock me. And at the time, there was somebody going around that was attacking homeless people, another homeless person, stabbing them, attacking them. And there were places of worship and other places that would offer St. Patrick Center, for instance, a place for them to stay, come in, Larry Rice and his group. But they didn't want to go in. They wanted to stay on the street, even if it's cold and bitter. They didn't want to chance losing their prized possessions or whatever it would be. And they were so addicted to the streets, nothing was going to break through and get them out. And for all the things Larry Rice could be critical or criticized about, he walked the walk. And many others did as well. I knew that at the end of that time, I had a home to go to, a family, and I had an income, a check. I was not going to be on the street forever. So some folks, be it the Triple X Church, led by a porn star, or one of the finest cathedrals in the city, will decide maybe that's my salvation and my way out. Maybe.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.